Life Changes with Filippo. Welcome to our show. I'm your host, Filippo Voltaggio, and I am honored to be of service during this hour as an agent of positive change. The way we look at it here on our show is that the one constant in our lives is change. And let's face it, change happens, and lately, lots of it. In fact, in 1 year, we experienced more change than our ancestors experienced in a lifetime. How about that? Exciting. We sometimes do not choose the changes, but we can choose how we deal with them. We can prepare for some of them or be caught unprepared by most of them. We can look at the changes as good and interesting or bad and scary. However, given good tools, we can make the best choices possible. So that's why we're here to share with you some of the experts of change that we get to talk to on a regular basis to help us all make the best choices possible. So our expert of change today is David Sirita, who is a director, a film producer, a filmmaker, a co-founder of Voice Entertainment, and he is quite a very interesting guy. I'll tell you a little bit more about him in just a moment. But before we move on, let's bring on our very own expert of change and our cosmic advisor, as I like to call her, Dorothy Lee, with her State of the Universe address. Dorothy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Ah, welcome.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you.
Thank you. This is definitely the time for change. Spring is in the air. Cherry trees are blooming and the grass is getting greener. So let us become conscious co-creators and take advantage of the cosmic forces that surround us. Since the beginning of time, people have been gathering at the different phases of the moon to affect change in their lives. We have moon ceremonies twice a month. We have full moon ceremonies, which we just had, and it was amazing. The full moon is all about letting go. So we still have 11 more days before the new moon, and this is truly a great time for a spring cleaning, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I know that your mothers and your grandmothers, ladies, told you it's a good time to clean out your closets, to sweep under the beds, and just go after those things that we let just go unnoticed for way too long. However, the mental and emotional and spiritual aspects are so important right now because the planet is undergoing a shift, and we need to get rid of our negative thoughts and ideas so that we can shift with it and bring about a world filled with peace and beauty and enough for everyone to eat and no more war. So this is a perfect, perfect time for you to let go of those things that don't work for you anymore. In addition to cleaning out your closets and getting rid of the excess stuff in your house by having a yard sale or just giving it to charity, take a look at what your predominant ideas are about relationships, about your job, about anything in your life that isn't working the way you'd like it to work. Your wonderful guest tonight is going to be talking about water and how water is so important to us. And everyone knows about the messages from water. And I urge you to use that message to become conscious of what your thoughts are. And write on your drinking glasses, health, abundance, love. Think about what you want in terms as if you already have it. Let go of those things that don't work for you, and you will be a part of the change, this shift that is so awesome and so amazing. So I hope some of you will join us here in L.A. at our moon ceremonies. And if you want more information on those, go to my website, www.energeticalchemy.com, and you will find where we are. Please use this time to let go of poverty consciousness, the need to judge and criticize, you can also use this time to start a juice fast or a fruit fast and cleanse yourself inside and out. I just finished the spring cleaning, and I'm amazed at how good I feel emotionally by letting go of stuff that had been in closets for years. So I urge you to work with the energies, to work with this time of letting go, and know that you're being supported by all of those in the higher dimensions.
Dorothy, can you hear me? Cause,
yes.
Oh, because you didn't seem like you could hear me earlier. I was starting to interject. I haven't mentioned what our guest is going to be talking about today, so they don't know that. So yes, you're right. We are going to be talking about water, and I don't think that most people do know about the messages from water. So that's why we're doing not only this show, but hopefully get to have Dr. Emoto on, who of course wrote the book Messages from Water, and he's also featured in the movie that we'll mention a little later. But in any event, people don't know about that, and so why don't you elaborate a little bit more on the spring cleaning and just really talk about what's going on in our heads that we could clean out. I mean, that's such an important point.
Oh, well, there's so much going on in our heads, and we are so programmed to continue to think negatively. Although everyone knows about the secret and the law of attraction, and they spend a few moments thinking, I feel great, or I have plenty of money in the bank. It's the toxic thoughts that there's never enough. There's so much poverty consciousness going on right now because of the collapse of the monetary system. But this is just an illusion. It's all an illusion. And we are the co-creators of reality. So we must become very, very clear and pay attention to what our thoughts are. About relationships, if it's about, it just doesn't matter if it's about our job or about money. It is our primary thoughts that create our reality. So let's pay attention to those thoughts that don't work for us anymore. Money doesn't grow on trees. That's a good thought to let go of.
So now, Dorothy, I guess
plenty for everyone.
Dorothy, I guess a good analogy here is that some of us might have a nice house that looks clean when we walk in it, but then you open up the cupboards or you open up the closet and it's a complete mess, or things fall out and people are afraid to open the closet or because nothing will fit and it's just a clutter. And basically, if that's the way they're living, so when they think about, oh, I need to get such and such, and they go in the closet and it's an hour before they can get to it because things fall out and they have to blah, 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 then that's what's really going on. That's what's going on in the background, right? In our mind, we could say, oh, I am not poverty conscious, but in the back of our minds, if every thought we have about money when we're not being conscious is negative, then that's what's really running our lives, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, those are the thoughts that are mostly predominant. So you can't just say one time, I am wealthy. You have to take a look at all of your thoughts about money, all of them, and then choose the ones that will bring you more money.
Well, I like that. I thank you for mentioning this about the spring cleaning. It's easy to think about it that way. And so it's, we've been thinking about for years, we've heard our parents, especially our mothers, say it's spring cleaning, you have to clean your room or what have you, and vacuum behind the bed and behind the refrigerator and all that. So give us a couple practical things that we can think about spring cleaning in our minds. What are a couple practical things?
Spring cleaning our minds, like I said, relationships, jobs. If you go to work and you hate your job and you go, my boss doesn't like me, my boss is not on my side, then you are going to be creating more and more of your boss not liking you. We think that we're at the effect of other people when actually we are the co-creators. So also examine your predominant thoughts about anything in your life that is not working for you. If you want to release excess weight, what are your thoughts about your body and your ability to lose weight? This is where the mental spring cleaning is so important. What are your thoughts about your coworkers? What are your thoughts about your neighbors and your friends? It's so amazing because we go through life with negative self-talk, and we watch negative shows on TV where people are laughing at each other, and some of the behavior on these TV shows is just extremely cruel. I was passing by a reality show on TV this weekend, and I couldn't believe that this is what passes for entertainment in this world. So take a look at your thoughts. What isn't working in your life, whether it's your body, your job, your friends, your loved ones, examine your thoughts and then change them into ones that will work for you. It's very
Dorothy, I really like that. Thank you so much. That's something that we all need to do, and this is a great time to do it. And like you said, we can take advantage of the energy of the moon in releasing those thoughts. And I will keep that in mind myself. So you just helped me. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So thank you. And yes, people can go to your website, but they also can go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com. And they can learn about you there and then click to your website from there as well. So one way or another, we'll all be in touch. Thank you for being with us on the State of the Universe Address, Dorothy Lee.
Thank you.
Well, now our guest tonight, our expert of change, is David Sarita. And David is a very fascinating guy. I've had the pleasure of getting to talk to him on several occasions. And each conversation, there's just no stopping. I mean, one thread of inspiration leads to another, and he loves to share so much information. He's the co-founder of Voice Entertainment. He's a director, a producer, a filmmaker of such movies as The Voice, Water, Mona Lisa's Little Secret, Quantum Communication, From Here to Andromeda, and the list actually goes on and on, including Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs, which I've gotten to see actually on YouTube. He's also a photographer, an author, a public speaker, a space scientist, a physicist, an ecologist, a spiritual explorer, and he's actually a lot more than that, and an all-around great guy. So if you're with us, David, thank you for joining us on the show.
Hey, Filippo, thanks for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure, and you'll be happy to know, since we always get cut off on our personal conversations, and you always have such great information, in honor of you, we've extended our show for 4 more hours today.
Wow.
So we can talk all we want.
We can talk all night, yeah.
You know, with we could talk about so many subjects, and we can talk about so many of your movies, but you're involved with this movie, Water, which really, I mean, there were times while I was watching the movie that my jaw just dropped and said, I didn't know that. And some parts of it were kind of scary when you think about it. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because what this movie is helping us do is change the way we look at water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it not only changes the way we look at water, it changes the way we look at the entire universe. You know, it and how this issue of whether there is such a thing as mind over matter, that, you know, there's, you know, telepathy or communication at a distance, you know, that can be authenticated by scientists, has kind of been trivialized in the American media. And this film, Water, which was produced in Russia by Saida Medvedeva, sold 3 million copies in Russia and Europe. And it's kind of like, she's like a Spielberg over there. And I think that, you know, the Russians, you know, when we go back to the time of World War II and the nuclear age, and they actually beat us in the nuclear age. They actually tested nuclear weapons far more devastating than we did. And Kennedy signed the test ban treaty in the 1960s when the hydrogen bomb, which is kind of like a water bomb, was being developed, and the Russians, it was just no end to how powerful this bomb could get. And it ended with, you know, Kennedy's test ban treaty. But what amazes me is that, you know, in this kind of mentality that Americans have conquered everything, you know, we're the smartest people on the planet, I actually became friends with and knew briefly Randy Brinkley, who was the program manager of the International Space Station. And he told me that there's no way that the Americans could have built the space stations alone, and there's no way the Russians could have built it, that we did this great joint venture together. And in that togetherness and in the bond and the relationship and the shared knowledge, this miraculous space station, you know, is now floating around the Earth and giving us, you know, wonderful new insights into our planet. And I look at water the same way. Like, the research in the area of mind over matter, it all starts 1927. It's the fifth Solvay conference on quantum mechanics. And, you know, at this conference, and this is, you know, decades before the development of the first atomic bomb in 1945, tested in New Mexico at Trinity Site in 1945, the scientists are taking up this subject of mind over matter. Niels Bohr, an intelligent physicist, and Heisenberg, another great physicist, come to Einstein in the conference, and they say, it looks like the minds of the researchers are affecting the results of the experiment. And Einstein just about flipped out because he wanted, you know, a repeatable, reliable mathematical formula that could explain everything. And if thoughts were affecting the quantum universe, and thoughts are so random and unpredictable, then, and if that had a major play in the way the universal forces were acting, there's no way you could mathematically determine anything for absolute certainty, because we're involved in that process. And 10 years later, Einstein reverses his decision to, you know, disagree with it, and he actually says, anyone who becomes seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man. And a spirit is not a force. You know, the forces are gravity, you know, which is very obvious. You drop a rock or you try to jump and escape, or it's gravity and you fall back down. And then you have magnetism, which we're all familiar with. And the strong force is the force that holds all the subatomic particles together so that we don't go all flying off into space like spaghetti. And then there's this thing called the weak force. So those are the forces. So when he says a spirit, he's talking about consciousness, that the universe is conscious. And then another great physicist, Max Planck, who is actually the grandfather of quantum physics, he said, all matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force. We must assume behind this force is the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter. And Max Planck passed away in 1947, which is kind of the beginning of the really of the atomic era. So there you have it, two of the greatest physicists of all time, you know, were in agreement that consciousness was affecting reality. Yet, you know, we released the movie Water, and Betsy Chase, who was one of the directors and producers of What the Bleep Do We Know, was our partner at Voice Entertainment, and
right.
Jim Waugh and I, and we fed this to the Hollywood press. I mean, a stunning movie, and clearly shows that maybe the Russians are ahead of us again on this mind over matter stuff. And the press laughed at it and called it hokey or you know, hokey science. And there's Nobel Prize winners in the film. There's MDs, there's PhDs galore. And the Hollywood press said that it's just kind of, you know, hokey science. And that just reminds me of how much we've lost touch with what is really happening. One of the greatest revolutions that's happening, not only in Russian universities and research labs, but also here at Princeton University, Harvard, Stanford, all of our top universities, scientists are working on this. They're working on their favorite subject, because what actually happened in 1927 at the conference was that by the early 30s, we came into World War II. And when the war started, we took our most brilliant minds and we put them to work on weapons. We took them away from their passion, which is understanding the laws of the universe and the conscious universe, and we made them build weapons. And when Einstein, you know, came into, when you come into World War II, which started in 1942, you know, and we come to the end and, you know, Hitler's, you know, horrendous regime, he uses his intelligence and actually the atomic bomb was born by a woman physicist. Her name was Lise Meitner, and she was also a member of this Solvay conference on quantum mechanics. And she gives the idea to the kind of core group of physicists, and then it's Einstein's student, Leo Szilard, who joins forces with Einstein. They write President Roosevelt the famous letter to urge the fission of uranium to build this bomb. And the bomb is, you know, exploded. The world changes. And then this Cold War with Russia and the development of the atomic bomb lasts, you know, decades and decades. And in the 1990s, you know, under Reagan, when the Cold War ended, guess what everybody did? All these physicists went back to work in their favorite subject, mind over matter, the conscious physics. And there's an explosion going on in our universities. So I said, I want to make films about this. And I directed and edited and produced The Voice with Jim Law, my partner. And when we were filming The Voice, we found this movie, Water, sitting in somebody's computer from Russia. And I went, oh, my God, this film is so beautiful. It's incredible. Everybody, you know, would love to see this. And this individual said, Krishna Madhapa is his name, oh, Americans wouldn't be interested in this. You know, maybe some university people would, but no. And I said, no, they would, they would. And I had to fight for months to get a hold of the producer in Russia. And so now, you know, here lies the film today.
Well, we're glad you did. And I'm sorry you had to fight. And hopefully you won't have to fight anymore, that this could be like a little positive bomb that you're putting out there, just like the one that you quoted, Change the World, that this could help change the world. Because getting back to what you were saying about Hollywood, maybe they just... They just don't know that the public is interested, or there could be other factors involved. As a matter of fact, I got to interview Dr. Emoto, as we talked about, and he, as you know, well know, he was a very decorated scientist by many universities and organizations and scientific societies, etc. But when he came out with his book about water, the messages from water, he became an outcast. From his own community. So I'm glad to hear that there are communities of scientists that are spending more time on these kinds of subjects. I don't know if it's as widespread as all that you say, but I sure hope it is. This is important. Because getting back to water, you're talking about water as if it's a living entity.
Well, water... You know, our bodies are made, you know, of 90% water, depending on how much water you drink or how dehydrated you may be. And we look at the sun, and this is one of my favorite things in the movie Water. I mean, the sun is made of almost the same stuff we are made of. It's made of, you know, 90-something percent hydrogen. It has trace oxygen actually inside of it. And then it has minerals. And our body is, you know, 90-something percent hydrogen and oxygen, which is, you know, water. And then it has minerals, which is what makes us very electrical. And then, you know, the sun, of course, has a little bit of helium, and we don't have any of that inside of us. But we're very similar. In fact, you look at all living systems, they're all made of water, from plants. You know, they have hydrogen and oxygen and then carbon, and so do we. I mean, we all share the same building blocks. And what this movie Water starts to, you know, reveal to us is the deciding factor of what will make a mouse or a man or a plant or a sun is consciousness, is this factor that, you know, physicists today are calling information. So if you think, what Masaru Emoto has discovered is if you think flower or gratefulness in the presence of water and you flash freeze it instantaneously in these cryogenic chambers and you take a photograph of the crystalline structure, you can see the patterns that resemble that thought form. And they also did this with music. You can, you know, you can play different music and, you know, heavy metal produce, and you flash freeze heavy metal, it looks all crazy, and you flash freeze Beethoven, and it looks beautiful and organized and symmetrical. And so what he realized is that information in any form, whether it's music or whether it's even thought, which appears to be so silent and not even producing, you know, a millimeter of energy, at a distance can affect water. Well, what the film starts to explore is the fact that, you know, over even great distances, water systems are communicating with each other, and they can communicate faster than we're talking on the radio right now, which is the speed of light, faster than cell phones and faster than the speed of light, which is 186,282 miles per second. So water has this ability to communicate, you know, literally instantaneously regardless of distance. And there
that's
was actually,
amazing to me.
Which is amazing because it tells you the possibility that, you know, is there a way to, you know, when you look with the Hubble Space Telescope way out into the universe, is there a way to communicate with all of that faster than light? Because the speed of light is so slow that even the light that travels from our sun left the sun over 8 minutes ago. And we look at Sirius, the closest star to Earth, the brightest star in the sky, the we're seeing the light as it was 8.7 years ago. That's how long it took to get here. So looking at the universe through telescopes, we're seeing everything in slow motion as if it happened, in some cases, millions or billions of years ago. But water has this supernatural ability to know what's going on everywhere instantaneously. And because part of us is water, we have that ability too. And actually, if we look at the birth of the universe, you know, the universe, for those of us who believe in the Big Bang Theory, that the universe started from this infinitesimally small, you know, pea and exploded into this whole universe, you know, which is almost 18 billion years old, that hydrogen, you know, the constituent components of water are hydrogen and oxygen, and it's two parts hydrogen, so it's mostly hydrogen, was born as little as a few seconds after the Big Bang. I mean, there's different types of hydrogen that were born, and has dispersed itself as the most abundant element in the visible universe. 75% of the matter of the universe is made of hydrogen. And then when you get into the invisible universe, into dark matter, you find out that, you know, a big chunk of dark matter is made of invisible hydrogen. So you think if all of that has memory, all of that is conscious, and all that can communicate instantaneously regardless of distance, I mean, this should be the most exciting and the greatest discovery in the history of science. And it is. And it is happening. And that's why, you know, people need to see the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I was just dumbfounded at certain times. And like I said, I was also scared at certain times. I mean, not scared, but you think, well, wait a minute. This phrase kept going through my head as I was watching it ever since you said, or whoever it was said, dead water, that water in natural surroundings does not go through 90-degree angles like our pipes do and even smaller angles than that, and that the water is breaking, or I don't remember exactly how you put it. And so dead water, we're drinking dead water. I mean, help me here.
Well, you know, it's amazing. Even Andy Rooney in 60 Minutes did he did several investigations into bottled water. And he took it to a lab and found it to be energetically dead. So, I mean, you know, that's 60 Minutes. That's American, you know, top quality news reporting. So if Andy Rooney found out that it was dead water, it shouldn't be a surprise that when Masaru Emoto did his flash freezing technique on bottled water and a lot of tap water, it looks horrible. I mean, the energetic structure and the symmetry and the beauty is nothing, you know, that you would really want to put in your body. I mean, it's just scattered, chaotic. And when you look at the way when water flows down a stream, it spins and spirals over rocks, and rocks are natural energetic electrical capacitors, so they're kind of transferring a lot of electricity into the water. And the sunlight is hitting it, and birds are hitting it, and the sounds of wind and, you know, the trees blowing in the wind is all being absorbed by the water. So when you drink that kind of water, and we see this in the movie Water, when scientists test the energetic, you know, value of natural water, like I just described, I mean, it doesn't even compare to what we're drinking, you know, and especially with the advent of bottled water. So the idea comes up in the film of multiple ways to restructure water. And when you get into the area of restructured water, there are one set of miracles that occur after another. And there's three classifications of restructuring water. You know, the first one is really just using technology that resembles nature to vibrate water into a new order, and then looking at it under the microscope. You know, several experiments were done with it. one, it looks beautiful again. You know, it has an energetic symmetry again that can resemble a beautiful or a pretty snowflake. But then there was one of my favorite scenes in the movie, this medical researcher in Nevada in the United States, Perla, she takes a person who has a type of heart disease, and she looks at their blood under the microscope, and you see it, and she shows, you know, how all the cells are stuck together, and they're sticky, and they don't
right.
have a lot of room to breathe. And she gives a person restructured water, which they drink, and 20 minutes later, she takes a blood sample, puts it under the microscope, and the blood is completely transformed. All
right.
the cells are buoyant, there's lots of space between them, they have room to breathe, and they're floating around. And this happened in 20 minutes. And then, you know, we look at, in the film, we look at areas where the ecology has really suffered from, you know, where oil wells are drilled, there's also water wells where the water's polluted, and you see all these murky waters, and the, you know, the fish are dying, the ecology is devastated. And you introduce some very small samples of restructured water that, when they're introduced to the lake, the polluted lake, the rest of the water seems to draw at a distance off of the memory of the properly balanced water, and within 3 years they were able to restore an entire polluted lake.
Right. It's just amazing. You know, I like analogies, and I was trying to think of an analogy. For example, if there's a, you're with a group of people, and you're at a party that's pretty dead. I mean, we actually use that terminology. This
right.
party's dead, right? And it's boring, and nothing's happening, and all of a sudden one person walks in that's got great energy and is a lot of fun, and is, we call them, the life of the party.
Right.
And so here you have a dead party, and you have somebody who walks in who is the life of the party, and then all of a sudden people start to be attracted to that energy and make their way over to there, and before long they're getting into it, and they become happy, or they become vibrant, revitalized.
Yeah, because it's just, yeah, that's I love the way you said that, because it's just like the water. You, as soon as you see a person like that, you feel better, because it's actually in your memory. And it just reactivates your latent or hidden memory to become like that again, and then the whole party lights up. And that's kind of what happens with restructured water. There was one point in the movie where they took holy water, you know, Russian Orthodox, you know, Christian holy
right.
water, and one tablespoon of this holy water took an entire, you know, gallons and gallons of ordinary tap water and rendered all of it holy water.
Right.
So water that has a really high spiritual vibration, and they test Buddhist water, they test, you know, they tested the water of many different religions in the world. And each, that's another thing, is each one of the different religions, the structure of the water, they were all beautiful, but they were all unique. They were, none of them were the same. But that water is so powerful that it can, just a tablespoon of it, just, it's like the life of the party story again. All the other water changes instantaneously.
Right.
It happens in seconds. So, but the, to me, some of the more exciting things about it is how this communication is happening, even at a distance. They took, you know, the same pitcher of water and divided it into two glass pitchers. They separated the two pictures at a distance, and they exposed one of the pictures of water to pictures and images, and the distant picture of water would respond instantaneously, as if it was still in the presence of its original union. And we're kind of the same way, because we're made mostly of water. In fact, they even do experiments in mental telepathy in Russia, where they separate, you know, two different people who were formerly united and are thinking of each other thousands of miles away. And they measure their heart rate, their brain waves, their heart, you know, different functions of the body. And when one person has a thought and their functions change, the other, using satellite, you know, instantaneous time, responds and adjusts itself to the same similar wave patterns instantaneously. So,
David, that is amazing. And I want to get back to the three things that you were saying we could do, but before we do that, that is a fine example of when people say, I'm only one person, what can I do? And in truth, what you could do is if you tap into the scariness or the evilness or the craziness, what you're doing is just making matters worse. And if instead you tap into, like you said, the memory of happiness or the memory of joy or love, then you're helping somebody else or a group of somebody else be able to experience that clear across the world or right next to you, right?
Well, see, that's one of the experiments that, you know, we explore in my film, The Voice, and that is where, you know, we get this idea that, you know, the media has all the power, and I'm just this person, you know, this man or this woman or this child. And what do my thoughts matter? Because nobody can hear me. And the person with the loudest voice and is getting the most media attention, you know, is really affecting the world the most. Well, in physics, that isn't true. Actually, every person has the exact same amount of power. And, you know, that's a quote from Dr. Bruce Lipton, that every person is just as powerful because energetically, in the energetic universe, the media doesn't matter. What matters is that if you really believe that and understand it, and once you've seen the scientific evidence that that's true, collectively our thoughts, whether the TV is on or not, if we're all thinking, you know, something together, the amplitude or the power of that thought multiplies by the number of thinkers. And then when amplitude increases, probability increases. You know, this is in quantum physics. If more people are thinking the same thought together, the likelihood of the manifestation of that thought increases and against its, you know, opposing thought form. So if you can get, you know, 6 billion people on the planet or 7 billion people to all come into a harmony, whether you use the media to do that or not, doesn't matter, then that vibration is far more powerful than any of the ideas that media rules. Now, but if we're all engaging in global media and we believe it, we're just repeating that mantra. So let's say global media is proliferating and glorifying the criminal. You know, right now it's the pirates, you know, who are in Somalia and Africa. You know, we can look at that and go, well, I'm not going to give that much energy because it doesn't deserve it. And so we really have the ultimate authority on how much energy to give certain stories. But if everybody gives that, you know, a lot of energy and a lot of fear, then that becomes a very powerful thought form. So the media can be very, very powerful in the sense that it can, you know, for those of us who engage in it, and it's nowhere near, you know, the numbers of the percentages of the people who live on the planet. Like, you know, like for example, CNN, maybe a million and a half people are watching it, and there's 6 billion, almost 7 billion people in the world, and there's 300 million Americans. So really, it's not a very large number of people. It's more important what we're all thinking and feeling. It's even more important than even those thoughts and feelings that we're really lit up about. Because the more intense our focus and our energy is on a thought or an emotion, that means the more powerful that thought form will be. And if you look throughout history at the great knowledge explosions that have occurred, and you can see that they happen in old history without any media. This goes into something called the 10th monkey syndrome. Have you ever heard
right.
of that?
I think it's the 100th monkey.
100th
right.
monkey, okay.
Yeah.
110, yeah. 8. What happens is the scientists realize that you could have all these monkeys on an island, and when more than one of them start to have the same revelation, like, you know, monkey figures out how to use a bone as a tool, on a distant island somewhere else, all of a sudden, in concert with that, in timing, that same discovery is made
right.
at a distance. And the way that happens is, without any
it's
media...
It's in the water, right? Is that what you're going to say?
It's through the water. It's through the water in the monkey's brain and the monkey's body. And it's
right.
also, you know... So that means that, like, you even go back to the 60s and the big social revolutions. I mean, media can play a very powerful role. But there's when you get millions of people on a continent, you know, having a social revolution or some of the, you know, troubles we're facing in the world today about the economy, you know, those feelings are manifesting whether the media reports it or not. And
right.
and the solutions to those problems, even if the media doesn't report, you know, that the solution to, let's say, you know, banking and finances, you know, it's an illusion that there's no money, because money is just a representation on a paper note for goods and services. So if there's no debt, in goods and services. The planet still grows trees to make your house with. The planet still grows food, and so do the farmers. So nature doesn't produce a deficit for you and say, sorry, you have to pay me for those tomatoes, otherwise I'm not growing any new ones this year. So we created this thing called, you know, banking and debt, which is just a game that we're playing with each other. It's not really real. But we believe it is. Now, I think millions of people know this, and millions of people are talking about how the central bankers is the biggest scam on the planet. But the media doesn't report it. But why is it that everybody you meet and everybody that I meet is talking about that all the time? And I think the reason it is because it's our intelligence, but it's also, you know, it's also being transmitted.
Well, actually, David, you bring up a good point, and that's everybody you meet and maybe everybody I meet, but not everybody that everybody else meets. And that's why us two monkeys, if you pardon the analogy, are sitting here on radio helping some of the other monkeys with this consciousness. And one of the things that is still on my mind is, what are the other two things that I could be doing with water? Because earlier I said we had 4 hours. Of course, I was joking, but of course that's what we're going to need. You know, we're just going to have to get together and do a weekend or something.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you said that there were three things that we could do. The first is to do it, to change our water mechanically. And, for example, one of our sponsors is IonWay's Water Systems. So I have their system changing my water mechanically and changing the structure, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm grateful for that. And I think everybody should have some kind of a system, and this is a good one to look at. But there are two other things that you said we could do. So let's say we have a system and the water comes out restructured. What are the other two things we could do to our water?
Well, I did an experiment with the producer of water last year on Valentine's Day. It was when we got the results, and that was that I knew that NASA had recorded the sound of the sun in deep space, and, you know, Dante Alighieri, the great Italian poet, said the sun writes the will of the heaven on the earth, and the ancient Hindus said that the sound of Om, the true sound of Om, came from the sound of the sun, and that's exactly what the sound of the sun sounds like. So I realized that this sound was probably the master symphonic composer of the solar system, and that we wanted to expose it to water and flash freeze the water cryogenically and take its picture. And so this was done in Russia. It's the same procedure that Masaru Emoto does. And when the picture came out, it was just utterly astounding. It was the most beautiful, sophisticated, perfectly balanced architecture for restructuring water that any of the researchers had ever seen. So I created a little CD, you know, Restructuring Your Water with the Sound of the Sun, which is on my website at voiceentertainment.net, and that's one of the methods, you know, people can do. And then, you know, there are many natural ways to restructure water. Like, one thing you can do is you can put your water in different colored glasses, you know, regarding, you know, don't use cheap dyed glasses because the color dyes can leach into the water, but use good quality colored glasses, and then you can treat water with different colors to give it a different color vibration, you know, to activate, you know, the different energy centers in the body. And you can also put a quartz crystal in your water in the presence of the sun, and that, because quartz is an amplifier, it can really amplify the energy of the water. And you can also just play some of your favorite music to your water before you drink it, and then you drink it. So not being in it, because water is sitting in these dark pipes. It's kind of like it's been in the dungeon. It comes out of the tap and it goes right into our body. So the idea of restructuring your water naturally, and I actually have a little ebook on my site too, Restructuring Your Water Naturally, that teaches you how to do these different things. You know, for people who can't afford really expensive water restructuring machines, these are good methods because they're very inexpensive. And so the idea is to, you know, do some of these natural processes to your water before you drink it, and there will be a profound difference in your body.
Now, so, Dr. Emoto talks about putting a label on the bottle or praying over it. I know it's talked about a little bit in the movie, but, you know, let's just give some thought to the praying on the water. I mean, it's not like we're... What you're saying is that we could use our mental processes, that something's actually coming out of our brain. It's not just prayer, right? It's not just because you know, Jesus taught us to pray kind of thing, or Buddha said pray. There's actually something scientifically happening when you're praying or when you're meditating on the water, right?
Absolutely. No, especially if the intention is really pure. I mean, I know Madonna, it was reported in the press, you know, spends $10,000 a month on Kabbalah restructured water, so all of these Kabbalah prayers are recited over the water. And, you know, that's one of the beautiful things Emoto has done, is shown us, you know, the different religious or prayers of the world over water, and they're all beautiful, yet they're all so unique. But prayer has to be very, you know, we can't just recite a few words and think, you know, it's going to change. The intention has to be powerful. You know, it has to be, like if someone were to just meditate for 1 minute and say some prayers over their water, I mean, it'll change a little bit, but it won't compare. And I've actually done experiments like this using very sophisticated technology where we meditated in the presence of water for literally three different types of meditation. One was 40, one was 1 hour, another meditation was a half an hour of chanting the mantra Om, and the third meditation was 2 full hours. And by the time we had done all three meditations, we could measure the improvement of the energy of the water, and it was drastic by the time we finished almost 4 hours, actually, of meditation compared to, like, 5 minutes. So it really, when you're using the, you know, one of the reasons I like the sound of the sun is that nothing compares to it, first of all. I've never seen a prayer or intention that compares to that. The other thing is the actual language. The actual language of the prayer seems to be very powerful, like reciting the words with proper diction and intonation and respect, you know, in the different, you know, religious forms. And the movie Water shows, you know, how the rituals of water from, you know, in Christianity and Catholicism, we have the baptism and we have the sacraments, and then you look at, you know, how water was used for the ancient Jews and the Hebrews in the bathing and ritual ceremonies before prayer, and how water was used in Buddhism, and even if, in all of the world religions, you can see this, that there are rituals around water. And one of the things the film, you know, Water reminds you of is, you know, the science is telling us that there was a benefit to those rituals. They were not dead rituals. They were not just boring, oh, I got to go to church again. When you see the scientific evidence, you go, wait a minute, have I lost touch with reality? Was there a real purpose, you know, for me attending, you know, my religious ceremonies? And why am I not doing it anymore? Because I became a rebel, or because I didn't believe it was really doing anything? And
well,
that's
we
one
lost
of the,
touch with it, absolutely.
We lose touch with great things, you know, in our cultures.
And we've lost touch, we've lost, bringing it back, we've lost touch with water and what it really is and what it means to us. And I thank you so much for having found this movie, having fought to bring it to us. And please tell us again where people can learn more about what you can do with your water, learn more about you, and learn more about where they could get this movie. That's your website, right?
Yeah, my website is voiceentertainment.net. Okay, that's
voice,
V-O-I-C-E entertainment.net is my website, and you can find the movie Water, The Sound of the Sun CD, and, you know, Restructuring Your Water Naturally, the ebook, which is just an electronic book, full color pictures, so you can see natural ways to do this, and you know, and my other films are there too. So yeah,
thank you, that's
great.
Thank you for making that all available to us. We really are running out of time, and like I said, we could talk for days on this, and one of these days we'll have you back and we'll talk about Mona Lisa and some of the other movies, because you are just so prolific and we're so glad. Thank you for taking the time out, for joining us on radio today on Life Changes with Filippo. David, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Filippo. It's a great honor to be on your show.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. David Sarita, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, wow. So let's give some thoughts and prayers to our water, the water that we drink and the water all around the world, and check out this movie. And now we have another regular segment on our show that I'm happy to call the Luminary List. That's what we call it. And it's where we add businesses, governments, celebrities, and people like you and I being the change we wish to see in the world. And to host that segment is our publicist of Positive PRLA. Please welcome Stacy Hess. Are you with us?
I am. Hello, guys.
Hi, Stacy.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going. Did we lose you?
Nope, I'm here.
Okay, it's going great. It's going great. And I have a feeling I know what you're going to talk about as far as the luminaries.
Well, you know, I actually have to start out by saying that I'm in a very, very special spiritual place right now. I'm actually live on location in beautiful Topanga Canyon in Southern California, and I'm standing outside surrounded by trees up in the mountains, and I can hear frogs and crickets, and I can see the stars, and so it's a really very special, luminous sort of place to be joining you guys from tonight.
Ah, well, thank you. Well, I know you're with some very special people. I have a feeling they're on your list today.
They are on my list. As a matter of fact, I'm here because we're celebrating the birthday of one of my favorite luminous people, and that's Kevin Vickery, who is a co-producer of the movie Fuel. And Filippo, you got to meet Kevin actually Friday night at the Truth Movement event at the Key Club that was hosted by last week's luminary Corey Feldman. And we also got to meet Ed Begley Jr., who's another luminary. So our lives are filled this week with some pretty amazing luminous people who are really touching others and making a difference in the world.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
So, you know, just to touch a minute on our friend Ed Begley Jr., you know, for those of you who are part of the Green Movement, you all know Ed, and he's an actor and an activist, and, you know, we've been talking about water. And I spoke with him a little bit on Friday night at the event about water, and he only drinks tap water because it is the most environmentally friendly way to consume water that there is. So, you know, as we're on this show thinking and talking about water, you know, the most sustainable way to enjoy the healthiest drink on earth is to take it straight from the tap. And we've learned some really great ways tonight of how to make that water even more healthful and filled with intention and wonderful things. So very, very timely conversation that we had on Friday night, right?
Right. Very interesting man, actually.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. But really, tonight, the luminary I want to talk about is my friend and colleague, Kevin Vickery, who, as I mentioned, is a co-producer on Fuel. And I'm happy to confirm for you, John, per your email earlier today, that Kevin has agreed to be a guest on our show on May 4th. So we can look forward to having him come on and actually talk about Fuel and the solution pathways that that movie offers to overcome our addiction to foreign oil and non-sustainable methods of energy and fueling our vehicles.
Actually, before you go on, Stacy, just so people don't think you're crazy, I know you haven't been part of the show, but John is not with us right now. He's listening, but she's talking about Jon Snow, the producer, so she knows I'm not John. But go on.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah, well, I am actually just a little bit crazy, Filippo, as you and anyone who knows me can attest to, but I'm not hallucinating, let's just say.
Well, we love the kind of crazy
that you are, I've not been able to listen along because I'm up here in Topanga Canyon, and while I miraculously have a wonderful cell signal, I have no internet connection. So.
Right, no problem.
I've been a bit disconnected.
Anything else you want to say about... Please.
Hello?
Oh, so much for the great introduction. Are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, anything else you want to say real quickly about the luminary list or about Fuel? Or we're going to have Kevin on the show in May.
Yep, Kevin will be on the show on May 4th to talk about Fuel, and I don't want to steal his thunder, and I know actually that we're short on time, so I won't wax on and on and on. But again, I just want to put out there to our listeners that if you know anyone in business or in entertainment or just in your life who's making a difference and lighting up this world, please, please, please email that to us because we would love to share that. You know, it doesn't just have to be me finding these people. I would love for you guys to help us find them too. So, you know, please share that with us.
And just so you know, Ed Begley Jr. said he'd be on the show too. I forgot to mention that to you, John.
Oh, yay. Fabulous. Well, that's great news. I didn't even know that, so that's wonderful.
Right. So it's an exciting show, and we love everybody that's a part of it. So thank you for bringing all these wonderful luminaries to us on this wonderful Luminary List segment.
Absolutely. And next week, we'll look forward to a couple more exciting ones.
Yeah, and so do we. So enjoy the party. Thank you for taking time out, for being with us, and sharing this with us. Give our best happy birthday wishes to Kevin.
I will. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you soon.
All right, Stacy. Ciao. Wow. Well, that's our show. Tune in next week, actually, when you hear, you'll hear our guest, Gabriela Castillo. Now, she is a healer, an expert communicator, and a problem solver for animals. Yes, animals. It's interesting because she learned how to work with animals and was helping animals, and then would come to find out that the animals wouldn't get better. I mean, they'd get better, and then they'd get worse again. And then she figured out that the animals, like water, I guess, were picking up on what was going on with their animal caretakers. And so she realized that you can't help the animal if you can't help the caretaker. And so she started working with the caretakers, and then the animals got better. Imagine that. So we can't wait to talk to her and see what secrets she has for us and our pets. Remember to keep this conversation going by visiting us on our website at www.lifechangeswithfilippo. That's Life Changes with Filippo. My name spelled F like Frank, I L like Larry, I P like Paul again, and the letter O. Lifechangeswithfilippo.com. And join us on our Facebook page of the same name, Life Changes with Filippo. Become a fan, and we'll be posting all kinds of information there. As a matter of fact, probably the party at the Key Club. There'll be pictures there as well. We had a lot of pictures taken of us, and we had a lot of fun. So please visit our sponsor page also on our website. The show today has been made possible in part by our sponsor, IonWays Water Systems. Change your water, change your life. Imagine that. Visit our website to learn more about them. Well, that's it for me. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee and Stacey Hess, and along with our wonderful luminary list of producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, and Mark Leger, we'd like to thank you for joining us today in being the change you wish to see in the world.
You can do magic If you just believe. If you only let it be, you can do magic if you.